don't know about you, but I need all the Jesus that I can get. Does anybody else feel that same way? Okay, good. I was hoping I wasn't alone on that. I mean, these past few years have been a challenge for our world, right? Yes. And in the past 3 years, has there been a time when you felt like you were weary? Anybody? Anybody felt weary? Yes. In fact, some of you might be feeling that way today. So I'm going to let the cat out of the bag and tell you right now that today we're going to be talking about hope. Jesus matters because he is our hope. And we can lean into that hope, and we have to lean into that hope for it to make a difference. And so what I want to start with this morning is by taking us back to the song, O Holy Night. That is my favorite Christmas carol. Does anybody else love that Christmas carol as much as me? Okay, yeah, all right, all right. And I love the line that says, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. Yeah? Yes, isn't that beautiful? And what that thrill of hope that the songwriter is talking about is the night when Jesus was born. But I also love what precedes that when he says, long lay the world in sin and error pining, because I could never write anything as beautiful as that. Those are more than just beautiful words, though. They are powerful words. I don't know if you've ever thought about the lyrics of that. They are so powerful. And they're powerful because they are words that carry tremendous weight. They are words that are heavy laden with truth. Words that remind us the reason we can rejoice in the midst of weariness is because of who we hold on to and who holds on to us, right? Jesus matters because he is our living hope. Jesus matters because he is our anchor of hope. Jesus matters because through him we abound in hope, we overflow with hope, and our strength is renewed by hope. Now, come on, somebody. I just laid out a whole lot of scripture for you just now. That would have been a great place to say amen. All right, it's a little late, but I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. That holy night when Jesus was born, that very first Advent, marked the beginning of a new era. It was the onset of a brand new kind of hope. Jesus's birth shattered that old definition of time, and it set off a brand new era. And in so many ways, his life changed everything in all ways forever. Jesus matters because his life sparked that very first thrill of hope 2,000 years ago. And his life continues to ignite hope today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you are showing us a little bit more today who you are. And we pray today that you would do just as Anthony prayed earlier and open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts so that we may understand all the wonders of your person this morning, that we may understand all of who you are, that we know that we know how much you love us, we know how much you care for us. And so we pray today that you would help us to lean into your word, to lean into you, Jesus, so we can have all that we need of you this season and beyond. We love you and give you praise this morning. Amen. Amen. I mean, honestly, at this point, I've already shared enough truth with you. We could just pack up and go home right now, but we're not going to. So I don't get to, you know, speak every Sunday. So we're going to go 4 points today. And but I promise you, it's going to go fast. We're going to look at an acrostic for hope. That's what we're going to do. So hope has four letters. So I've got 4 points. And so we're going to start with H. And H stands for higher. Now, how many people have ever heard someone say this to you? Don't get your hopes up. Anybody ever heard that? Or yeah. So likely the reason they were saying that to you is because they were saying that what you're asking for, there's a pretty fat chance that you're actually going to get it, right? That's when we hear that expression. But I want to tell you this morning that that's not actually biblical hope. In fact, biblical hope tells us that we should set our hope high. It's not only okay for us to hope in the Lord, but that's actually what we're instructed to do, because it gets our mind off of our problems and onto the one who can solve those problems. Jesus sits enthroned above it all. So he sees higher, he sees wider, he sees further than we could ever hope to see. And so we've got to take on his perspective. This is what Colossians 3 says about it. Let's read it on the screen there. It says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. We must set our mind on the things above this world, above what we simply see in the parallel space around us. What does Isaiah tell us? He says that, you know, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So when we look up, we are taking on that perpendicular perspective. And I just looked at those lights and that made me blind. But but when we do that, we're linking our eyes with the eyes of the author and finisher of our faith. And that helps just break apart those clouds that would distract us and derail us. When we get our head focused on the things that have eternal value, the things that really matter, then what we find is those earthly things just begin to fade away. Now, I'm not saying that that means that our problems suddenly disappear. But what I am saying is what disappears is our stress about those problems. What disappears is the worry that we're experiencing because we've taken on an entirely different perspective. We might still have those temporary problems, but how we manage those problems looks entirely different, because we've got that new perspective. Now, that also doesn't mean that we get to ignore that pile of bills that's stacking up on the kitchen counter. It doesn't mean that we get to ignore that marital or relational strife that we're experiencing or that bad habit that we're trying to break. No, it just means that how we tackle it is going to look differently, because we have traded our limited view for heaven's unlimited vantage. And you might be thinking this, maybe you're like, okay, that all sounds good, Amy, but you don't know my deal. You don't know my situation or my problem. And you're right, I don't. But I know the one who does. And you know him too. And his name is what? Jesus. Yes, Jesus matters, because he knows what you're going through. He knows that you need his perspective. And here's the deal. Even when Jesus was done with his time of ministry on this earth and he said to his disciples, look, I'm going to go away. I'm going to ascend to my Father now, but it's okay that I go away. In fact, it's more than okay. It's to your advantage that I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly how we get that perspective. The Holy Spirit says, take on my perspective. See what I see. Jesus sent us that advantage. And so what we've got to do is we've got to press that advantage. We have to say, okay, Holy Spirit, you're on my side. You see what I need to see. Help me to see that. And when we see that, we lean into that. We press that advantage. We see what he sees. We lean into what he sees. We lean out of our perspective. And that's what makes the difference. That's how we tackle something from a whole different vantage point. We get rid of that tunnel vision. Because here's the thing. We've got to get that upper hand against the enemy. He wants nothing more than to keep us subdued under his mind games, right? That's why we've got to set our mind on things above. Yeah. We've got to get it on the perpendicular aspect of heaven and not on what we see here in just this earthly plane. When we do that, when we take on his height, that takes us to a new altitude, and that leads us to a new outlook. And that is O for us today. When we take on that outlook of Jesus, we receive a direction for our life that is healthy and positive. He gives us a new focal point that says we can do this. We're going to make it through this. We're going to win. And I love that, because even Pastor Tim, when he was praying to transition the service, he prayed that those things. He didn't know what I was going to be speaking about today. But I love that. I love that he said those things. Here's what's really cool. You know, Paul, how many times was he in prison? Like, more times than any person should be, right? And when he was in prison, one of the times he wrote the letter to the church at Philippi. He wrote the book of Philippians as we know it. And he knew the value of a positive outlook. So I want to read for you in chapter 3 what he says. He says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Look, it would have been really easy for Paul to say, "Woe is me. I'm never going to get out of this prison cell. I have no idea how I'm going to get this letter to the church of Philippi." He didn't know that, but he didn't take on that perspective. That was not his outlook. Instead, he kept his head up and he continued to encourage his brothers and sisters in Christ. But I do want to make a distinction here. Paul was hopeful, but he was not necessarily optimistic. And maybe you're thinking this morning, okay, what is the difference? I never thought that there was a difference. Well, there is. Optimism is not the same thing as hope. Optimism is a choice that we make to take on a positive perspective. And it's good. Don't get me wrong. It's good. But I would suggest to you that hope is better. Because hope is a choice we make to stay positive, even though there's no evidence that things are going to get better. And when Paul was in that jail cell, there was no evidence for him that his situation was going to improve. But that did not stop him from hoping. It didn't stop him from saying, I'm going to press on toward that goal. He was probably thinking, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to win. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. But yet he kept positive. He kept focused. He kept his hope high. And the reason that we can stay positive is because just like Paul, we know the faithfulness of God. We have seen him come through for us before. We've seen it in the past, and that gives us hope for the future. So we look backward, but not for the sake of getting stuck in the past, not for the sake of just remembering those good old days and wishing we were back there when times were easier. We look backward so that we can look forward, knowing that he who was with us before is still with us now and will continue to be with us forever. We trust in the character of Christ and who he says he is and who he says he will be and who we know him to be. And that's what shapes our outlook. And then the P for us today is patient. Okay, my grandma used to tell me that the nickname for the letter P was humpback. Anybody ever heard that? Humpback? All right. Okay. Lloyd knows what I'm talking about. Well, I'm going to tell you where that came from. She used to teach me how to spell the state Mississippi. And it went like this. M-I, crooked letter, I. Crooked letter, I. Humpback, I. Now, why on earth that was supposed to help me to remember how to spell Mississippi? I don't know, but it worked. It stuck. I know how to spell Mississippi now. And never in my wildest dreams would I have ever thought that I had practical application for Grandma's lesson. But I do. I do. I found that the P really is humpback. I think patience is truly the humpback of hope. Because it's the protruding virtue in us that not only develops hope, but it keeps pushing us forward. And this is what Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Now, I love a lot of scripture, but I have to tell you that is not one of my favorite verses. Anybody else love that verse? It's okay if you do. All right, maybe you're like me. Nobody wants to be patient in affliction, right? We want to just rip the Band-Aid off, be done with all the pain at once. Who wants lingering pain? Nobody. Nobody wants to suffer and drag it out. But you know what Hebrews says? And this is one of my favorite verses. That we have to behave as people of faith who are willing to be patient and endure and wait because those are the people who inherit the promises of God. So the reason that we're patient in suffering is because we look forward to, we hope for, a day when there will be no more suffering. The healing of heaven is our promise. And I don't just mean someday when we get to meet Jesus face to face. Yeah, we've got that healing. That's coming. But I'm talking about the healing of heaven that we can have right now today. The healing that's on this earth. The healing that's already been released to us in this realm. And how we get that is we release our life to Jesus. When we put our faith in Jesus and we set our mind higher and we take on that his outlook, and we practice that patience in affliction, that is how we do that. That's how we receive the healing of heaven. He gives us that whole different vantage point. And that gives us that strength to keep walking by faith. Even though we feel sometimes we might be stumbling around in the dark, we have that assurance that one day our faith is going to be made sight. And the reason patience is so essential is because it teaches us how to stay grounded in Jesus and to keep trusting him for our circumstances. Patience cultivates that hope. It's that protruding virtue. It builds up an expectation that something good is going to happen. And that is our last letter for today. Did I tell you we were going faster? What? E is for expectation. And this verse, oh, this verse is so good in Psalm 135. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. The word wait in this verse is the Hebrew word kavah, which means to hope with tension. So to visualize this, I want you to think about a rope being pulled really, really tight. And it's so tight that you don't see any slack in that rope at all. But it's not so tight that it snaps. But it's right there. It's right on that edge. So, so taut. That's the kind of hope the psalmist is referring to. When he said, "My whole being waits," he's saying, "I am tense with hope." It's more than just a casual waiting for hope. It's an eager expectation. It's an anxious anticipation that something good, something worth waiting for, is about to show up and release that tension. That's what he's talking about. We think we know what it's like to wait, church. We do. We say things like, "Oh, we can't wait for the pandemic to be over. We can't wait for tax return season so I can get that big fat return that I'm looking for. We can't wait for winter to be done and summer's here again." Those are the things that we say. And the reason we say that is because we're holding on to hope. It's true. But I don't know that we are waiting with the same tenacious hope that the writer of Psalm 130 was talking about. I don't know about you, but I don't walk around tensely saying, "Oh, come on vacation." And if you know me, you know that I love my vacations. And in fact, we don't have any on the calendar right now, honey. We got to do something about that. But anyhow, I don't do that. As much as I love vacation, I'm not all tensed up saying, "Come on vacation, come on vacation." No, we don't do that. But I believe the psalmist chose to write that particular Hebrew word, kavah, because he wanted to pin a mighty message that would point to a mighty Messiah. And that's the theme of the entire Old Testament. You can read it for yourself, but I'm going to show you two verses today. Micah 5:2, "From you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." In Isaiah 9, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And here's my favorite part. "And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Woo, isn't that good? Yes! That's a promise worth tensing up for, church. The Old Testament writers banked their belief on the hope of a Savior would come and someday rescue them, someday release that tension. And I want to tell you, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the animals, the world, all of creation, they waited with tension. They waited for Jesus' arrival because they knew he was more than just another baby to be counted in a census. They knew that he was the Savior. They knew that he was the Messiah, their King. And so with great expectation, with sheer tension, they waited. And they waited for that deferred hope to finally be fulfilled. And Jesus is why we still continue to wait today. He is why we continue to hope. We look forward to the day when he comes from heaven with a shout. And that trumpet sounds, and a proclamation is made to the world that once again a new era is dawning. Oh, I look forward to that day, but I want to tell you, I want to broadcast to the universe, look, here is our hope of glory. Here is King Jesus. Because here's the thing, that's a someday. We don't know when that's coming, but the broadcast for today is that Jesus is here today. Jesus wants to help you today. He is your hope today. He still matters because we still need him. This world is still imperfect. And so as long as we're still on this earth, as long as we're still on the old earth, then we need to lean into everything that we've got. He is our King. He is our Messiah. He is our Savior. That kind of tenacious waiting. That kind of intensity. I've been told that I'm a little bit intense sometimes. You're probably seeing that today. But it's that's real. That is the kind of tenacity that we're talking about. So when the weight of this world tries to discourage us and hold us back and distract us and derail us, then we hold on to a higher expectation. We hold on to a higher outlook of patient expectation. That's what hope is when you put it all together, a higher outlook of patient expectation. With intensity, we keep ourselves tied to that anchor, and we let that relationship with Jesus be that thrill of hope. that the songwriter was talking about at the beginning of this message. He's our thrill of hope when we keep that relationship with him the way that it needs to be, when we lean in to his outlook, when we lean in with patience and expectation. Pastor Tim, if you'll come, we're going to start closing, and I'm going to ask that everybody else, if you'll just stand with me, and we're going to pray. And I want to just give you an opportunity this morning to just respond to this message. I know that it was quick, even though there were 4 points, but I think that's fine. I think the Holy Spirit was already here working.
Absolutely.
And I want to give him an opportunity to just seal in your hearts this morning this word. I'm going to ask that you would just close your eyes and bow your heads with me. I know that some of us in this room we're going through a really, really hard time. And I hope that you heard my heart today, and I was not trying to minimize or make light of anything that's going on in your life, because I know it's real. I know there's real things going on, real struggles. I'm just trying to help us understand today, that's why we need Jesus all the more. You see, this topic is so important for me, because I faced a time in my life when things were so bleak, so hopeless. I didn't have anything or anybody left, at least that's what I thought. And when I was at the bottom of a very dark, deep pit, that's when Jesus said to me, I'm your hope. I've never left you. I have never forsaken you, and I'm still here for you. And that was a day about 15 years ago when I finally decided to surrender my life back to Jesus. I chose once again to make him my king. And when I did, hope began to rise. And I want to tell you, I would love to tell you that my problems, they just instantly melted away. They didn't. I had dug myself into a pretty deep hole, and it required some digging out. But I can tell you that at the bottom of that hole, I found a well of hope that still springs eternal today. And that same hope is available for you, because a relationship with Jesus Christ is what matters. It's what matters more than anything. It's what matters most. And I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know if you even have a relationship with Jesus. You don't even know what I'm talking about, but you know right now, you're just feeling a nudge, something in your heart that's saying, you just need more. You just need more of Jesus today. And if that's you, I just want to ask you to raise your hand so I can pray for you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. And for everybody else that's here, maybe you realize this morning that, you know, you're walking with Jesus, but if you're honest in this moment, you would just say your hope has not been as high as it should be. And you just need some help taking on a higher perspective, taking on the outlook of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you need some help walking in patience right now, because what you're going through is just, it just seems like it's so much. Or maybe what it is you just feel the Lord right now in this moment saying, would you just start expecting me? Would you just start expecting me to show up? Would you start expecting that something good is going to happen? That I'm going to take this something that's meant, that the enemy means for ashes, and turn it to something beautiful? And if that's you this morning, you want to just respond to any part of this message today, I want you to just raise your hand right now so I can pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wait just a little bit longer, because you're not responding to me. You're responding to the Holy Spirit this morning. You're responding to something that you're feeling inside of you, that you're just tired. You're done. You're done with trying to do life the way that you've been doing it. You're tired of seeing things the way that you've been seeing it. And you're ready. Today's the day that hope springs eternal for you. If there's anybody else, go ahead and lift your hand right now. Lord, we thank you so much that you have reminded us today how good it is to put our hope in you. Because you don't ever fail. Don't ever stop being faithful. And we thank you, Lord, that today, that even in this moment right now, that you're giving us a brand new perspective, that you're helping us to set our minds above the clouds, that we're seeing higher. We're seeing your perspective above our situation, above what's going on. We are taking on your vision. And we're taking on that new outlook. And that new outlook is going to propel us forward. It's going to cause us to start tackling our problems in a whole new way, a whole new light. And God, that you're going to increase our patience in this time. You're going to help us to lean into you, Holy Spirit. Though it might be difficult, though we might have a ways to dig ourselves out of whatever's going on, you're going to be digging right there with us. You're going to be right there by our sides, and we're going to get there. We're going to get to that higher ground. And I thank you, Lord, that right now you're building expectation in this place. That right now hearts are being filled with fresh hope, renewed hope. People are being strengthened right now, this morning, because they are leaning into your word. They're leaning into you, Jesus. And I thank you for the work that you have started here this morning. Lord, I pray right now for the person who has been deferring their own hope this morning. I just hear the Lord saying that you're deferring your own hope. You're making your own heart sick. If you are not leaning into who you should be leaning into, if he's given you that path forward, lean into that path. Lean into that hope. Don't go about it your own way still. Your way isn't gonna get it done. He's your hope. So Lord, we just thank you that you always provide a way. You always show us the plan and how we can move forward. And so we commit today that we're not going to get in our own way anymore. We're not going to defer what's meant to be ours. We are going to lean into you. We're going to step with you. We're going to keep in step with you. And we're going to let go of all the things that try to distract us. We're going to stop looking to the left and to the right. We're going to move forward. You have created that way, and we're going to say today that we're ready to walk in it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being our hope. Thank you for being our hope. Would you just say that with me right now, church, in your own way? Would you just bless the Lord and thank him for being your hope? For whatever he started in your heart this morning, just begin to just give him praise for what he's doing right now, however he's speaking to you. God, I love you so much, and I thank you for being our hope. You're so good. You're so good. You're so faithful. Thank you, Lord, that we're seeing differently this morning. Thank you, God, that you're showing us a new way, a new path forward. Hallelujah. Thank you. This morning we wait with intensity. We wait, Lord. We wait. We wait on you because you're worth waiting on. You're the only one worth waiting on. God, we lean into you. We lean into you. Hallelujah. You're so good, Jesus. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. God, I pray that as we leave this service today, that you would just be so quick as we're in our car driving home, as we go to work tomorrow morning, however the week looks for us, that we would hold on to hope, that we would not let go of what you've spoken to us today, but we would take this word and we would go forward with it. This would not just be another Advent season where we hear a message, God, about Christmas, but Lord, that it's something new and it's a beginning of a new era for us, a new time in our life when we just say yes to you. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and glory and honor.